Okay, so thank you. Thank you, the organizer, for the invitation to speak here. So when I had to decide the topic of my talk, I had different options, and at the end I decided to talk about something in which I think, is interesting. It doesn't have the strong memory effect that have been seen and there will be seen in future talks, but I think there are some, and in the future there could be very interesting, I think, memory effect in this domain. So, well, these are my collaborator on let's say this series of work. So my title is Emergent Phenomena in Interacting Communities, and actually what really I want to focus on are ecosystems. And ecosystem, actually, what I want to show you today is that they provide a very interesting problem which has very strong analogy with statistical physics, but still in which there are many interesting things to understand from the point of view of ecology and from the point of view of physics. So, well, roughly speaking, what are ecosystems? This ecosystem are communities which are formed by individuals which belong to different species. There are interactions between species, so between individuals inside the same species and between different species. And the interaction can be competitive, so for example, different individuals that compete for the same resource, but then it can be also cooperation. So for example, I can produce something which is useful to species B, and species B, when it exists, can produce something which is useful for me. So it can be also, there could be also a cooperative effect. And then, well, the evolution, the degrees of freedom, if we are a physicist, is the abundance of species, so how many individuals you have for a given species. And this vary dynamically due to the birth, the death, and the interaction between species. So, well, ecosystem or ecology is, let's say, a discipline that started a long time ago. Theoretical ecology maybe was very much, had a lot of progress at the beginning of the 70s. And, well, if you think to traditional ecosystem, these are, well, things like this. For example, you can have food web. And again, this was a topic that has been studied in the last 30 years. But what I want to, the things on which I want to insist today, is that there is really a paradigmatic shift in recent years. And the reason is that, well, there is several reasons. One of the reasons is that, I mean, on traditional ecosystem, well, often you don't have many degrees of freedom, and often you don't have a lot of data. And now instead, I mean, ecosystem or ecology is something that is becoming very important for biology. And the reason is that, well, this is a, let's say, traditional ecosystem, and this is, let's say, quote-unquote, modern ecosystem, so which is us. So as you, I think many of you know, I mean, at least 90% of the cell of your body are not you, so 90% of you is not you, it's bacteria, and you live thanks to the interaction between all these bacteria. And so, first understanding how these bacteria interact and how this ecosystem work is something which is very interesting. And second, I mean, in experiments now, people have, they can really follow, have a lot of data on, let's say, different ecosystems, for example, inside the human body. For example, in the gut, in the palms, in the on the head. And so now what we can have are, so these are, well, typical things that you can find in experiments. So this is what is called the Human Microbiome Project, whose aim is really to classify and to follow statically and dynamic all the bacteria in different parts of the body. So what you can get here is what you have in this color plot. Our one color means that you have a certain fraction of individuals that belong to one species, and so another color corresponds to another species. So for one subject, so one person, and one particular ecosystem, so in this case I think it was the gut, you know what is the relative percentage of the abundances of all the species. And so what you can know now is that within an ecosystem, you can know what is the abundance profile. You can know how is the abundance profile is different from different subjects. And also what is interesting is that you can also have the time dependence. So here is the relative percentage of the abundances as a function of time for a given subject. So now you have a lot of data. And so the thing which is really important, I think, is also which make this is a problem for physicists, is that the number of degrees of freedom, so the number of species, is between 100 and 10,000. So which means that, well, it's not a problem that let's say, was treat, for example, in theoretical ecology at the beginning, which you have three or four species that are interacting one with the other, which is not a problem. It's a problem from the theoretical point of view. It's a problem of the dynamical system. Now, if you have 10,000 species that are interacting together, you can think, as a statistical physicist, there will be emergent phenomena or phase or different phase that can emerge for the ecosystem, and that you can treat it, or well, in the usual way that come from statistical physics. So, well, so the questions and the motivation. So, well, first is what I stressed is that, I mean, in ecology now, it's really clear that we have to go from understanding the behavior or the interaction between few species to many. And many means from 100 to, let's say, 10,000. And so this really means and makes a very interesting connection with statistical physics. And so while the idea, and this is what I'm going to talk about, but it's just the beginning of the study, it's not that I cannot tell you that there is a lot of study on this. The idea is that to try to answer to some question in ecology in terms of emergent property of complex ecosystems. So exactly like in physics, if you take four particles, you cannot say that the four particles are a liquid or are a solid. If you take 10,000 particles, then, I mean, depending on the external parameter, this can be in a different phase, can be a liquid, can be a gas, can be a solid. So there are some very specific behavior that arise and that emerge when you consider a lot of degrees of freedom together. So there are several questions, important questions in ecology, and the question that I will address today, which are really motivated, well, from theory, but also from experiments, and this will give you a flavor or of the state of the art. So for example, one question is how many equilibria can have a given ecosystem? And so this, well, it's of course is a general question. If I have an ecosystem, I have some species that are interacting together. If I wait long enough, the system will go to one equilibrium. But then I can ask, okay, if I started from another initial condition, would I get the same equilibrium? Which is, I mean, for statistical physics, it reminds a lot what you find, for example, in system like disorder system, in which you can have many, many different ground states. So this is motivated actually by also experiments. So there have been a recent experiments in 2016, and then an analysis of this experiment in which, well, the question was, I mean, we know that sometimes people have in the ecosystem which correspond to the gut have the same, the same relative abundance of species, and sometimes they have a different relative abundance of the species. So the equilibria are different. And it wasn't clear if it was because each person is different, so let's say the way in which bacteria interact in one person are different from the way in which they interact in another person, or actually it's the same in each person, but the equilibria that you can get are different. And so what they show is that depends on actually on the part of the body. So in the gut, apparently, they interact in the same way, but the equilibria are different. In other parts of the body, it's not the same. So clearly, while it seems that you can have different equilibria for the same ecosystem, and this is something that would be interesting to understand. Another thing that is central is how systems respond to perturbation. So for example, imagine that you have a certain ecosystem, again, inside you, then you are treated with antibiotics, so it changes. Then you stop the treatment with antibiotics. Do you go back to the same condition that you had before? Does the system have a memory of what it was, or actually you go to another, to a completely different state? Actually in this experiment, again, for in one particular case, they show that you have a kind of hysteresis, similar phenomenon to hysteresis. So if you treat with antibiotics, you go to another state, then you cut the antibiotics, you remain in that state for a certain time, and then you move quickly to the one in which you were before. So like if there were two different bistable equilibria. And then... So you mean the real species that are not extinct?
Yeah, because different combinations of bacteria can functionally do the same thing in your gut.
Yeah. So you mean what we call, I mean, the problem of calling what are, I mean, if, okay, I see. Okay. So let's say this way. So in this case, what we know, okay. In this study, I mean, again, I'm not neither a biologist nor an ecologist. What people say is that when they studied the different equilibria that you can have, then, I mean, they claim that the species that you have, at least some of them, are really different. They do different things. But I agree with you that there are some, there is a problem in which two species which are different, they have a different DNA, maybe they can do functionally the same thing. So one has to be careful.
So, can you give me a sense of, when there are, you know, these kind of population genetics and complicated biology models have been looked at for a long time.
Yep.
So in terms of features of whatever you're going to tell us, so what are you looking out as some, I mean, not just your thought, but is there a new approach, there are sort of new parameters that are being considered now?
You mean, I mean, in the context of, I mean, this is in the context of ecology, really, I mean, there are not, I mean, there have been studies, but study in which you really address the dynamic of the big ecosystem, there are not many, actually. I mean, again, they start in the 70s, in particular, it's very famous work by May, to study big ecosystem, but then otherwise, I mean, there are not general results on big ecosystem. There are many, many results on small ecosystem. This has been studied a lot.
Number of species,
yeah. And then another question is that why actually the system should go to an equilibrium? Maybe it will be in a completely chaotic phase, and so it will never settle down in any equilibrium. And then this also is something that has been seen and in experiments. So for example, when people study ecosystem with plankton, they found chaos. They even were even able to compute the Lyapunov exponent of this system and show that it was positive. And then another question which is interesting is what, and this is, I think, is a central question, is what are the factors that determine diversity? Meaning that if I have an ecosystem in which many, many different species in principle can be, what fixes the number of species that are really there? So meaning that some species will go extinct. So what are the, let's say, general reason that can tell you or that can explain what are the species that you really have in an ecosystem? And which one, I mean, why you have just a fraction of species that live in an ecosystem, how you can understand a priori or in general what determines diversity. So these are general questions. I will not give a complete answer, but I will address them to show you what can be done. Okay, so the first, the model. What is the model that one can consider? So the nice thing is that in this, let's say, if you think to an interdisciplinary field, is that sometimes, at least if you are not in the field, for example, of ecology, and if you arrive as a physicist, if you try to use a model that is not used by all the people working in the field, you are just rejected. Now, the nice thing is that here in this case, I mean, there are not 2,000 models, there is, I mean, let's say, a few models that are accepted as a good model of ecosystem. So, and the Lotka-Volterra actually is one model that is very, very well considered. And I think in part for theoretical reason at the beginning, but now there have been several tests that try to test how good is it. And actually, it's quite good in the comparison with experiments. So the good thing is that this is the model that I'm going to consider, and this comes directly from, let's say, work in theoretical ecology or experimental ecology. So this model, of course, is not a model of any ecosystem. It's a model of some specific ecosystem, which are called well-mixed, in the sense that, as you can see here, and then I will explain each term here, but here what you have is that Ni, which is the population of species I, and as you can see, you don't have space. So, and this what means is that we call well-mixed population, so there is no space, any species can interact with any other species. And this, of course, is a limitation, and there are cases in which you have to consider. And then, while the dynamics, here you see, this is a dynamical equation, and the dynamics is, which is encoded in this equation, is due to inter-species interaction plus noise. And what we want to know is, at long times, what's going to happen? What are the properties of this system at long times, and when the number of species is big? Okay, now let me explain to you all the different terms in this equation. So there is, well, first again, Ni is the abundance of species I, S is the number of species. So the important thing in this equation is that Ni is a positive variable. And so let's look at the first term. So this is the first term, which is what a species would do without all the others. So let's forget about all the others. So what you see here, so what happens is that if you start, so Ki is called carrying capacity and it's positive. So if you start from any value of Ni except Ni equal to zero, what you see is that the system will settle down to a value of Ni equal to Ki. So this means that, I mean, there is, if Ni, if you start one from not many individuals in the species, then there will be birth, but at a certain point there will be too many individuals in your species, and so you cannot increase anymore the number of species. And this will settle down at a value which is Ki. Then, so this, well, means that the species alone self-regulate to the abundance Ki. Then there is the second term here, which is actually is the interaction between species. So one way to think about all the things which are within the square bracket is that this is the way at which the species I increase, because this is like, if you think this is just like a multiplicative factor in front of Ni. So it tells you how much Ni will grow. And now what you see here is that, okay, you have this term, but now you have also this term. And so this term here actually can make increase the population of Ni faster or slower than what you have without the interaction between species. And alpha ij are the interaction, can be positive or negative. As I told you, if they are positive, it means that you have competition. If they are negative, it means that you have cooperation. And in reality, you can have both. And then, well, then there is another term. So this is what is called demographic noise. So the reason is that this equation is an equation on a continuous variable, but in reality, you don't have a continuous number of individuals. You have a discrete number of individuals. And so one way to use a continuum formalism. Sorry?
The alpha is constant or
depending
on time?
The alpha?
Is that
yeah, so, okay. So in the follow of my talk, yes. In reality, of course, you have to consider in principle there are fluctuations in alpha and in k in time. So this has to be also taken into account. So this is a demographic noise. So this is a form to include the fact that you have some noise due to the birth and death when you try to represent them in terms of a continuous variable. As you see, this noise, so eta I is a Gaussian white noise, but the prefactor here is square root of an I, and this is important. It tells you that if an I is equal to zero, you have no noise, and everybody, if everybody's dead, everybody remains dead. There is no creation of individuals if there is no individual. But then actually there is this term which is exactly doing this. So you create individual if there are no individuals. So if you forget about this term and this term, what you see is that this term here, it creates individual for the species I, and the idea in the ecosystem, so this represents the immigration rate. So it means that I have my ecosystem and then there are some population that arrive from the outside. So these are all the terms that you can put. So it's a very general Lotka-Volterra equation that consider for ecosystem. And it's the model that I'm going to study. Yeah?
RI
is just in front of this. It's the growth rate is the, the grow rate for species I. It's just yes, yeah. Okay, other questions? Yeah. Yeah, so in principle, yes. So in principle, so this means that I should put high order interaction. So one way to say it is that I should put also not just a term which is linear in N, but also terms which are quadratic and cubic. So this, I mean, something that we want to study is not, let's say from experiment, it's not so clear that is important. But yeah, in principle, yes.
The noise for I and j is called
the noise here?
Eta I, eta j.
Yes, in principle, it can be also correlated between I and J. But I mean, the case that I'm going to study again, just to be in the simplest case, is which in which it's not correlated between I and J.
And you use Ito
separately? Ito, Ito. Mm-hmm. It's important to use Ito because if you don't use it, so what you want to model is again is the fact that if this is not here, everybody has, so okay, let's say if this is not here and this is not here, everybody has to be dead if you wait long enough. You have it with Ito and not with Stratonovich. Yes?
So in Brownian motion, the correlation of Eta is proportional to temperature.
Yes.
Is there a concept of temperature here?
No, not really. It's just there is a strength I can put there, but there is no. Yeah. Then in my interpretation later, yes, but in reality, no. Was there a question? Okay, so this is the general model. And now, what are the variables, what are the interaction alpha ij? So this is, I think, is the central problem right now. So there, as I told you, there are data, there are a lot of data now, but the problem, the data tells you, let's say, the dynamics of the system. And from the dynamics, you should be able to infer what is the value of alpha if you assume that this equation represents the dynamic that you see in the experiment. And this is difficult. I mean, it's difficult to find what are the good value of alpha starting from experiments. So this is a problem, they would say, of current research. So, well, what we're going to, okay, so, and I remind that the interesting thing is that these dynamical equations will be considered for a large number of species. Now, large, what does it mean, large? For me is that at a certain point to study this equation will take S, the limit of S going to infinity. Of course, in real life, F is not infinity. It's 100 or 1,000. And okay, when we do physics in thermodynamics, I mean 10 to the 23, the number of particles is very close to infinity, so we don't ask whether it's a good approximation or not, maybe. In this case, actually, what we see is that, well, what you can do is you can do a simulation, and then you can see in a simulation how much the result that you can get taking S going to infinity is different or is similar to what you see. And the reality is that as soon as S is of order of 50, you are very, very close to what you can see, what you can find in theory. Okay, so let me tell you now what is exactly the model that we studied. So the model that we studied is, well, has one big assumption, which actually you could think that I would do it because I'm a physicist, but not at all. It was actually done by May, which is a very influential theoretical ecologist in the 70s, and which is to replace actually this alpha ij, since this alpha ij in principle can be positive or negative, and they are heterogeneous, so you can say that, okay, I will study instead of, and since I don't know them, what I can do, I can study the model in which this alpha ij are random, and with a certain first moment and with a certain second moment, okay? So the first moment, alpha ij, I will take it equal to mu divided by S again, because S is the number of species that I'm interested in the largest limit. So this is the way to scale it. Then in real life, S is not infinity, and so, well, this is just a number. And then alpha ij, so mu is one of the parameter of the, let's say, control parameter of, or thermodynamic variable of this model. If mu is positive, it means that mainly you have a lot of competition. If mu is negative, it means that you have a lot of cooperation. Then alpha ij squared, the variance of alpha ij will be sigma squared divided by S. So sigma controls how much you have, how strong is the heterogeneity in the interaction. And then, well, alpha ij, I take it Gaussian random variable, but the fact that they are Gaussian is not so important. As long as the first and second moment exist, I think the results are robust. And then of course, alpha ij, I mean, in many physical problems, you would take it symmetric in general. The coupling from I to j is equal to the coupling from j to I. Here, in principle, it's not true. I mean, what I don't know, what rabbit do, I don't know, to, how do you say, coyote? To carrots is not the same thing that carrots to rabbit. But, well, so the alpha ij, so here what it means is that in principle I can consider alpha ij symmetric, but in reality I will take a parameter gamma that tells me how far I'm from alpha ij symmetric. So if gamma is equal to 1, this corresponds to a symmetric interaction, and otherwise gamma can be between 1 and minus 1. And I will consider, just for especially for the presentation, but one can consider more generally, But for today, I will consider the case of small noise, almost zero here, and small immigration rate, which means this is almost zero. And then the Ki also fluctuate in principle, and we have considered the fluctuation, but again, just because I want to have not too many control parameter or not too many thermodynamic variable, I will consider that Ki is equal to 1 and Ri is equal to 1. In this case, I have just three things that I can vary, mu, sigma, and gamma. And we can take into account also the variation of the other parameters. Now, the interesting thing, as I told you, is that, again, this type of equation is not something that comes from, let's say, a physicist that is looking to an ecosystem. I mean, of course, in part it is, but actually it's something that is also considered in ecology. And so there are papers that have tried to test this kind of approach on real data and on model of ecology. And so, for example, there is a paper that will appear on PNAS by ecologists that have really tried to test this model with respect to data and with respect to all the other models that have been introduced in ecology, and they show that it's very, at least it's very effective. Yeah?
In testing is presumably
Okay, so what has been done in this paper is actually they test with respect to all the other models that have been used in ecology. So it's not a test on experiments. Then there are tests like, for example, imagine that I have three species and I take two species. I look at the dynamics. From this, I infer the alpha. Then I took the two other, and then I took the two other, and then I put the three together, and I see if what I see is consistent with what these are the kind of. But I agree, I mean, in principle, how good is this model? I mean, there is no conclusion. What I just want to say is that this model is accepted, let's say, in the theory, and for the moment is as good as one can have to compare to experiment, which doesn't mean that it's good, it's just that there is nothing better. Yeah, but then to test, you have to know the alpha, for example. And know the alpha is a problem, so you can do it with very few species. Okay, so let me now tell you what we found. So what we did now as well, we really want to study this equation, again, the limit of small noise, small immigration, to understand what kind of phases we can have. If you do this, what you find is that you find different phases for the ecosystem and phase transition within them. So there are other works, actually, even not in ecology, I mean, from physicists, but not applied to ecology, but to neuroscience, which is somehow related. So the phase diagram that you get, so here you have mu. Remember, this is the average value of the interaction. So if mu will go this way, is positive, you have more competition. Here you have more cooperation. Sigma is the heterogeneity in the interaction. And so what you have is you have one phase in which you have a unique equilibrium. Then it's easy to understand this phase is that if you put sigma equal to zero, if you are here, you have sigma equal to zero, all the species are equivalent, and then it's very easy to work out that you have a unique equilibrium. Then you increase the heterogeneity. At a certain point, you have one phase, which is called, I will call a complex phase, in which either you have multiple equilibria, if the interaction is symmetric, or you will have chaos, if gamma is less than one. And then you have a phase in which is called unbounded growth. So now, before, let's say, going through the theory of these phases, first I will show you what is the what you get if you do a numerical simulation, of the equation that I discussed before, just to understand what these phases are. So, imagine that you start. So this is the numerical simulation of a system of 100 species with gamma equal to zero. So it means that alpha j is uncorrelated from alpha ji, and I think mu is equal to one. And so in this case, so here you start, different colors correspond to different species. And what you see is that when you increase time, each species go to a certain value. And this is the equilibrium at which the system goes at final time. And this is independent of the initial condition. So you can take any initial condition, you will always get that this species will go here and this species will go there. Okay, this is the one equilibrium phase. Sorry? No, because actually, as I say, I take the limit of zero noise, or almost zero noise. Otherwise, there would be fluctuation around it. Yeah. Okay, then there is a phase which I just discussed very briefly because it's not interesting for ecology. This is what is called unbounded growth phase. It means that there are some species, the abundance of some species diverge in finite time. And this is just is due to the equation. It's not something that you expect. Is the fact that here you see you have a competition between this term and this term. And now if sigma is different from zero, so without this term, you see that if n grows, this term here will force an I, act as a contrary force to the increase of an I. But now this term can be balanced by the other, and so you can have that there is an unbounded phase. But this is just because, if you just put the term here, which is minus n I squared, then the unbounded growth will disappear. So, this phase here is, non-interesting. And the two phases which are interesting are this one. So, well, this is one equilibrium, this is the unbounded growth. And then, so, there are this complex phase, which is reached if you have a system with competition and you increase heterogeneity. So, if you have interaction which is symmetric, alpha j equal to alpha j I, then you have multiple equilibria. If instead you have gamma less than 1, so even if gamma is very close to 1, but it's less than 1, you have non-symmetric interaction, and then you have chaos, which means that if I put no noise, well, this is a dynamical system with many, many degrees of freedom. The system will, instead of being in one equilibrium, will just have its own dynamics. So let me now discuss what we know about these two phases. So first gamma, this is it's the numerical simulation that shows you the transition to chaos. So this is what you have seen before. It's in the one equilibrium phase. So each species go to a certain value. And here is like the Poincaré map in chaotic system. So I'm plotting N1, the parametric plot of, let's say, N1, N2. So the value of the abundance is for two species. And so as a function of time, this will go to a certain point which corresponds to, let's say, N1 star, N2 star in the equilibrium corresponding to very large time. Instead, if I increase sigma, what happens is that even if I don't put noise, the system will remain in a dynamic state while it continues to fluctuate. So this is the chaotic phase that you have if sigma is large. Yeah. No, it's just one trajectory. One trajectory. Yeah. Yes.
Doesn't have to worry about extinction.
Yes. So I took a lambda equal to 0+. Yes.
And if lambda is equal to
0. Okay. So if lambda is equal to 0, I think what we can show, but this is something on which we are working, is that the chaotic phase is stable, so it persists. But the problem is that this is only in the limit s going to infinity. So when s is finite, I'm not sure. But this is something on which we are working on. So what we are doing now, we solved the easy part, which was with a small, very small immigration rate. And what we're working on now is the case in which without immigration rate. Okay, so now let me tell you, what we can do, a more strong analogy with physics. So, well, first, the case of symmetric interaction. So if the interaction is symmetric, so gamma is equal to 1, which means alpha j equal to alpha j I, so this equation, which is here, can be written in a way which is much nicer, at least for us, which is the following. So you can just rewrite this like the gradient of an energy function, phi j is equal to alpha j I, and the energy function, which is defined here, so there is one, let's say, part in which there is the self-interaction of an I, and then there is the interaction between an I and j, and then there is a part here which comes from the noise and the immigration rate. So this is what fixes the value of an I to ki. This is which corresponds to interaction between the species, and this is what actually fixes that an I has to remain positive. And if you look to this equation, this is nothing else than, let's say, a kind of generalized Langevin equation. in which we can know, one can prove that at long times you will just get, if you wait long enough, you will get Boltzmann distribution. I mean, you can really interpret this as a stochastic equation for a system with this energy function coupled to an energy buff. And if you look to the energy now, the energy, as you see, is an energy like for the energy of a disorder system, in which you have a self part, and then you have an interaction, and the interaction is disorder. And it's not a spin glass, because the degrees of freedom are very different. But still, you can, I mean, if you, well, you can think about it as a kind of, let's say, weird generalization of, let's say, spin glass of a disorder system. And what we are interested in, as I told you, is the limit of small or zero noise, which means that we are interested to the low temperature physics of this system. And so, well, I skip directly to the result. So at low temperature, what this system, what you have is that the phase with unique equilibrium, it means that actually if you study the energy function, you have just one global minimum, and that's it. And then in this phase, instead, what you have is that you have exactly the equivalent of a spin glass within mean field theory. So it's a mean field spin glass that you can study actually using the replica method. So it means that you have a very large number of competing equilibria. And then actually more than this, you have actually interesting property of this equilibria. So the case of one equilibrium, I plot here is the inverse eigenvalue distribution of the stability matrix. So let me explain what it is. You can think in two ways. One way is that if you have an energy function and you have one minimum, you can compute the Hessian around this minimum. And the Hessian is a matrix, has different eigenvalues. And what you have here is the distribution of the eigenvalue of the Hessian around the unique minimum that you have. I mean, this actually the eigenvalue, actually the Hessian is also related, is actually the inverse of what is called the stability matrix, which tells you how much, if I do a perturbation, how much the abundance of species I in equilibrium will change. It's really like a response function. And so the Hessian is related to the inverse of the response function. And what you have here is that in the one equilibrium phase, the equilibrium that you have is really stable. So you see all the eigenvalues are strictly positive. It means that the minimum is really have all directions which are positive. If you try to perturb it, okay, it's not going to, this is not going to have a catastrophic response. It's very different the case here in which you have multiple equilibria. So in the case of multiple equilibria, so this is what you see in numerics. For example, in the case in which all ki, if you remember what ki is the carrying capacity, are equal to 1. So what you see is that actually any minimum that you can find has a density of eigenvalue which touches 0. So you have an arbitrary number of small eigenvalue. And this is actually it's another curve in the case in which ki can fluctuate. And so something that we can actually prove from the solution of the model is that this is general. So all the minima, all the equilibria that you have here are all marginally stable, meaning that they all have eigenvalue arbitrarily close to 0. And so this means that now if you try to make a perturbation, they are going to respond in a very, let's say, catastrophic way. And so let me stress a little bit more. So there is one consequence which is very important in the context of ecology, is that actually the fact that the minima are marginally stable actually is what fix what is called the diversity. So here the diversity, which is the fraction of species that are not extinct. So if sigma is equal to 0, this fraction is equal to 1. Everybody that can be in the ecosystem is in the ecosystem. Now if increase sigma, actually the fraction of species that are not going extinct decrease. And then at a certain point, when you enter in the phase in which you have many, many multiple, when you have many equilibria, what you see is that what set the value of phi is the requirement of marginal stability, meaning that one can prove that in this regime, all the states are unstable. If all states which have a value of phi which is here are unstable, all states which have a value of phi which is here are stable, and the system just live on the marginal stability line. What means in practice is that if I do a simulation, I start with all species in my ecosystem, and I run the dynamics, then species start to be extinct because the system is unstable. And then the system stops the dynamics exactly when it has killed enough species to become marginally stable. And once it's marginally stable, it stops. It doesn't move anymore. And this is actually, it's very analogous to a phenomenon that one finds in jamming for R-spheres and the isostaticity of packings, in which you compress a packing and then you arrive, I mean, you when the pressure, let's say, diverges exactly the point at which you are marginally stable. So the dynamics just stop when the system is exactly marginally stable. And so this is what fixed the diversity in all this phase. So in this phase, diversity is not fixed by something general. Here, diversity is fixed by something general, which is just the requirement that the system is marginally stable. Yes?
I wonder if I missed something. Gut diversity is changing also because we keep eating. We're always introducing new species. Is that part of this model as well?
This is the immigration rate. That I say that is, well, it's very small. Then I can introduce also the immigration rate. But yeah, I didn't put. So I mean, I'm working in a framework in which I have an immigration rate, so they are inserted, but in a very small amount. If they're inserted in a big amount, then I cannot say anything. I mean, it depends on the way in which they are inserted.
One yeah. other issue is if you look and see what's for sale in CVS, there are brands of probiotics where they introduce a single species in large quantities instead of a diversity of species. Maybe you can tell them that that's a stupid idea.
Yeah, well, so the thing about the antibiotics, so I have another story about the antibiotics, but maybe you can discuss this.
Yeah,
probiotics. Ah, sorry.
Single species okay. probiotic.
Yeah.
Only that.
Yeah, okay.
So
yeah.
it's like a huge immigration rate for one species.
Yeah, okay. 5 minutes. Okay, sorry. Okay, so the other things that I wanted to say is that, so in this phase, what you have is that the system is stable. It means that if you do a perturbation, for example, you give antibiotics, then, well, you change the equilibrium, but then you go back also easily to the equilibrium from which you start when you stop the antibiotics. Here, instead, you have an extreme susceptibility to perturbation. So if you perturb the system, then, well, actually, since all the system, all the equilibria are marginally stable, then you don't go back to the same, to the initial state. And then another thing that actually work out is that since the system is marginally stable, you have very big correlation and very big fluctuation, and so we, exactly like actually in Glassy system, you can define the four-point function in terms of abundances that can tell you how much the system is close to be marginally stable. So in principle, this is something we didn't do it yet, but it's something that can be tested in data in which you have the abundances as a function of time. Okay, so this was for the symmetric case. Yes.
Is this also algebraic? It's only for the symmetric.
Yeah. Sorry?
So the
asymmetric case is what I want to describe now. So in the asymmetric case, again, if I put very small noise, and for the moment, very small immigration, then what you have is that you go from one equilibrium to a phase which is chaotic. So actually what we have studied is, what we can study is, first one can show that in this phase there are equilibria, but actually they are all unstable. So somehow the fact that once you are symmetric, the equilibria are marginally stable. Once the force becomes non-conservative, makes all these equilibria unstable. And so what the system does is enter in a chaotic phase that we can study using techniques which is called dynamic mean field theory. So something that we are going now is really to characterize the chaotic dynamics. So for example, when gamma is close to one, but not one, what the system does is that it remains a long time in something that looks like one equilibrium that you have at gamma equal to one, but then since this equilibrium is unstable, so it goes away. And then the other things that we are doing, this I think just because we are physicists and we like this, we are studying very well the property of the dynamical transition that you have here from equilibrium to chaos. And then other work in progress is what happens if there is no immigration. Because if there is no immigration, as was discussed before, if I don't put any interaction, at long times, actually, so let me just cut the long story short. So if you have no immigration, and it's not clear that if you have chaos, chaos can persist. Because if you have chaos, then you have noise. If you have noise, the species can be killed. But then if they are killed, then the chaos goes down. So it's not clear whether it you can have chaos without a small immigration rate. Okay, so now I will conclude. So what I wanted to show to you is that I think there are very interesting questions in ecology and in physics. And since the number of species is large, Now, I mean, this is a problem which becomes really interesting to study from the statistical physics point of view. And so one can speak about different phases of an ecosystem. And so what we have found is studying the Lotka-Volterra model of ecosystem is that there are one phase in which you have just one equilibrium, which is stable, and which, if you want, can have a memory in the sense that if you perturb and then if you put the perturbation away, you can go back. And there is an entire region in which you have multiple equilibria. So we show, I started with some question at the beginning. So one was, it seems from experiments that you have ecosystem with the same interaction with multiple equilibria, and here is an example and of something from the theoretical point of view. And what we know is, in this case, is that all these equilibria have very important properties. So they are all marginally stable, and this is what fixed diversity in this case. And then, well, if the system has no symmetric interaction, so this phase become actually a chaotic phase. And the interesting thing, I think, is that, of course, there are, so what we did is to solve the model, but the nice thing is that with the result, I think they go beyond the particular model that we solved, just because these are like phase of matter. And like, again, they cannot work in general, but they are more universal than the model that one has considered. Like a model of liquid in general is a very bad model for to do a quantitative explanation of a liquid, but if you want just to understand general property of the liquid state, then it's fine. So that's the idea of our procedure. And then, again, this is just the beginning, and what we want to do in general is to study, in general, possible phase of ecosystem, to study the chaotic dynamics in the case of non-migration rate. We want to study avalanches, which in the context of ecology are called extinction cascade. So it means that if you perturb the system, then actually you can provoke a cascade of extinctions of other species. And then study other functional responses, meaning that if you remember in the case of the Lotka-Volterra, the term without interaction was just Ni times Ki minus Ni. But actually you can have other forms which are important for ecology. And so it's interesting to see where if you have other form just for species without interaction with the others, if you can have other phase of the ecosystem. And then finally, while I mean the dynamical equation, equation in which I have the variation of time t plus delta t is just a function of what the state of the system at time t, but retardation effect can be important, space dependence can be important, and also fluctuation, for example, in time of the constant of interaction or the current capacity can be important. So this is really what I told you just at the beginning. So thank you.
Okay, so we have some time for questions.
I wonder about the biological relevance of the chaotic phase. Is this something that you would expect actually happens? Is this something that has been seen, or is it something
predicted? Yes, it has been. So it's actually, okay, so the answer is that, okay, first, yes, it has been seen. So it was the example, I mean, I cited it. So there is a very nice study on, ecosystem, plankton ecosystem from the Baltic Sea, in which they really did a very precise analysis, computing also the Lyapunov exponent. And yes, it has been seen, but it's not so frequent. And so while there is a question whether, I mean, it's not so frequent for theoretical reason or, well, or other, I mean, other reason, because, I mean, you can also think that you have noise, and so, well, I mean, I think there is a discussion in general in ecology whether on the importance and the relevance of the chaotic phase. It's clear that it can be seen in experiment, but, I mean, it's not so easy to see.
Right. So a related question would be, it seems like that in the symmetric case, that the symmetric case is not reasonable biologically, that it's always asymmetric, but at the same time, can you think how to change the model so that in the asymmetric case, you get a phase with multiple equilibria instead the chaotic one?
I think my impression is that as long as the phase with multiple equilibria is in the symmetric case is marginally stable, you cannot. So it means that if you have a phase which is marginally stable and you perturb with non-conservative forces, then you just go to chaos. But if you have a phase, as let's say, we would call one RSB, so meaning that you have many states, but they're really stable. If you perturb them with a non-conservative force, they will still be there. So I think there are examples which does not come from ecology, but we come from systems that have been studied to model actually shear, in which I think this is known. So, but for the moment, is I don't know if there is such a structure in a model of ecology, but yeah.
Okay. What about space? The mm-hmm. Is that no? I mean, I'm not demanding too much, but what do you expect will happen? Will it stabilize these chaotic solutions if you include spatiotemporal variation or not?
Okay, for chaos, actually, I don't know. I mean, for diversity, for example, it can help. So if you have different species that live in different places, so even if they compete, I mean, if I had some here and some here, then it's easier to have more diversity. Now, for the chaotic phase, I don't know. I never really thought deep enough to include space and to see what's going to happen to the chaotic phase.
And can you, you mentioned something about the shear.
Yeah.
Systems. What is the connection? I don't see.
Okay, so the connection, which is really a theoretician connection, is that, so if you take model like what is called the this mean field model of glasses that has been studied. So in that case, I think Kurchan, Berthier, and Barra, what they did to simulate, I mean, to model shear in a very abstract way, is to write the stochastic Langevin equation, but then to change the coupling between the spins in such a way that the force does not derive from a potential. So they have, let's say, you have the equation, the usual Langevin equation, and then you modify the coupling. Imagine that you have Gij, which is not equal to Ji, in such a way that the force does not derive from a potential. And so, and the amount in which they don't derive them from the potential, they say it is proportional to gamma dot. And so they did a lot of study of this model playing in with this analogy.
So you have this chaotic phase, and so, but one of the things that we've been talking about here earlier today and so forth is that, well, if you do a cyclic perturbation on the system, you actually can train it into some kind of path between the various states that you visit. And so is that going to be true here too? That is, suppose you have a perturbation that you can cycle back and forth, does the system somehow learn something about what the, you know, move itself into the part of landscape where it somehow remembers that particular path?
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. I'm not sure. I don't know, actually. So I think in this model, again, which are marginally stable, I don't see. But if I had a model in which, I don't know. I mean, the answer is that I don't know. I thought about it, and maybe if the somehow the noise that you are creating with this, let's say, mechanical action can be interpreted a little bit like thermal noise, then maybe yes. So if you wait long enough, then the system will start to go in state which are very different and in which it will, I mean, I don't know if it has learned, but it will not go away from them. So it will have a very different response from the one from which it started from. Not sure it's.
In the Jan system, that's also, you said, the marginal one. I mean, that one does, if you perturb it cyclically, it does somehow go back and forth through a set of states over and over again.
Yes, yes. Yes, I agree. Okay, but yeah, I will think about it. I don't have an answer right now.
So going back to the question of symmetric versus asymmetric interactions, so presumably, so you haven't mentioned the word oscillations, right?
Yeah.
And presumably because we're so close and symmetric or close enough to symmetric, so the question is, in the asymmetric state, do you see oscillatory behavior and kind of old school route to chaos typically goes through coupled oscillators?
Yep.
So I'm a little puzzled that we are looking for chaos in the symmetric case as opposed to strongly asymmetric case where you have oscillations.
Okay, so I mean the answer is that in the case, I mean if you do a simulation with when s is finite, what you get is that first you get one equilibrium, then you get limit cycle, and then you get the chaos. But when s goes to infinity, the region in which you have the limit cycle shrink to zero. So this is why I didn't discuss it, just because I didn't want to put too many things. So in the s going to infinity limit, the transition is really one equilibrium. Then there is one point, if you want, which I don't know if it's well-defined, in which you would have limit cycle. And then you have the chaotic phase. So this is something that actually was, I think, understood in models which were studied by Sompolinski a long time ago in neuroscience, that in the thermodynamic limit, the region in which you have the limit cycle shrink to zero. In practice, if I do a simulation with S equal to 100, it's quite small. But if I do, I don't know, S equal to number of species equal to 30, there is an intermediate region in which I clearly have limit cycle.
And this is the statement independent of gamma? So is it just generic behavior for any gamma?
Yeah,
gamma
I mean, except, except gamma equal 1 and gamma equal to minus 1.
Okay.
Yeah. In the case in which you have many minima, these are also related to the eigenvectors of the alpha ij matrix, simply? Or?
Yes, they are related. So actually...
The number
of species is of order n, yes. But so what you have to do, I mean, it's the... I mean, the fact is that if you try to see what is one equilibrium, so it's you have to invert actually just to solve a linear problem, mm-hmm. but the fact is that solution of this linear problem has to have all the ni positive. Mm-hmm. So if you try to do it, you don't get it, so you have to choose which one are zero, and then if you know which one are zero, then you solve it's just a linear problem in which it enters the matrix alpha j.
Okay. Is there a possibility that the evolution have chosen to avoid the zero eigenvalues?
To avoid the?
Zero eigenvalue.
So that the system is
alpha
not...
Alpha is too evolved in a way to avoid.
So that the alpha ij are somehow constructed are very, it could be. So, I mean, one thing that I would like to do now is to take this data that are known on the evolution in time of the abundances and try to test. So we have some observable that we can study that will tell how much the system is close to marginality or not. So, but this has to be done. Yeah.
So, I had a question. In terms of the microbiome example, so, certainly the chaotic state seems very unpleasant. And even the marginally stable case, I mean, it seems like an organism would, if you can be pushed into many, many different states, that might also not be good for long-term survival. I don't know. So, but the alphas themselves must be evolving on this longer time scale, right, as the gut bacteria evolve. So is there any sense in which the evolution is picking certain dynamical states by tuning the matrix? Is that something people think about?
Yes, I think yes. I mean, I don't know. Let's say for sure there is a lot of people that are thinking about coupling ecology and evolution. Now, and it's not clear what are the if there are definite results, because you see even just the ecology without evolution is open. But yes, no, for sure. I mean, especially on the for bacteria, the two things are in principle coupled. Yeah. So yes. So one thing indeed. I mean, another thing that we would like to do is really something similar. So thinking that, for example, if a species is killed, then we insert another species, but not the species that we are going to insert. We'll choose the alpha from the species that are still there. So in the certain sense, the species that are fit, and then we would like to see what's going to happen to the system at long time.
Right. Okay, I think we're at the 3 o'clock hour, so it's time for coffee break, so let's thank Julia again.